Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. This is a teaching session taken from a Zoom session from Daniel chapters 10 through 12. The tongue twister title is End Times Prophetic Panorama. We're talking today from Daniel chapters 10 through 12. This is an exciting prophecy, and I do not claim for one moment to understand all about the ins and outs of this thing. And the title of this session is a tongue twister, so I won't say it too many times. End Times Prophetic Panorama. Try to say that two or three times. End Times Prophetic Panorama. A panorama is a wide view. If you have a scope, a camera, a picture, you have a wide view of something. And it gives us a view of all the times from Daniel's time all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So when we have this view of this time period, we have a wide view, but for us today, we're going to just get a bird's eye view, just skip and hop over the time period that we're talking about. Goes all the way from Daniel through the second coming of Christ, and you could say even further. We have faith in God to help us during times, no matter what time we're facing. Through faith in Christ, believers can stand courageously for Him in perilous times. The scripture tells us that perilous times are coming. And even in Paul's day, perilous times, the Spirit speaks expressly. And Ezekiel said, the word expressly came to me. And Paul tells Timothy, during times expressly, the Spirit says that troublous, perilous times will come. And Daniel prophesied of these times. And all of the prophets, whether they be the major prophets or the minor prophets, they prophesied of these times that were coming. Our golden text is Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Contempt is worthlessness, that you don't care about your job. Now everybody wish they had a job to care about. So it's amazing how times can change things. Sometimes we have this contempt out for things, and that's what it's talking about here. Some will wake to righteousness. Some will rise to shame and everlasting contempt. It's talking about the resurrection, the scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all through the scripture, it talks about the resurrection. And the resurrection is real, whether you're talking about the rapture resurrection of the saints, whether you're talking about the resurrection in the end time when Jesus comes again to the earth, no matter what it is, you're having a resurrection, and the resurrection will take place. There are intervals of the resurrection, and that's not exactly our scope of our subject today, but the Lord Himself said that there will be those that will come out of their graves, some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of damnation. So the resurrection is without doubt taught in the scripture in the Old and New Testament. The first section of our session this time is talking about strengthened to understand the vision. Daniel had to be strengthened so that he could understand this vision that God was giving to him. In chapter 10, Daniel sees a vision in the third year of the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia. And this was during a time of three-week fasting. He was fasting, mourning, and time of supplication. And Daniel himself said, I ate no pleasant food, neither came flesh or wine into my mouth. And he sees a vision by what is now known as the Tigris River. In verses 5 and 6 of chapter 10, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins was girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So this angel, it could be the Lord, but we would think more that it would be Gabriel. Gabriel is the one who seems to be speaking to Daniel most of the time in his book. And so this angel, this special angel, comes to him and he speaks to him and he shows him this vision. And he has to prepare him to be able to see this end time vision. Immediately, Daniel became aware of his own weakness. When we come into the presence of God, and I know we're living in this time when people are talking about the fire of God, and they talk about the presence of God, and they fast so much, and they see angels, and they throw fireballs at each other, and all this kind of exuberant stuff. And a lot of it, they have the smoke things on stage and all this stuff that they don't even have to have a Holy Ghost atmosphere. You make your own. It looks like one. And they have all these things that they try to conjure up as an image of God. But the scripture presents God. When you come into the presence of God, you have an awe-ness. You have a reverence. You have a holiness. One of the things that characterizes the revival, the early part of Pentecostalism and the latter part of Pentecostalism as we know it now, the Azusa Street Revival, all the awakenings of the late 1800s and 1900s and the revivals that broke out. One of the main things that characterized them was the holiness and awesomeness of God. When you came into the presence of God, you didn't skip and hop and pop your bubble gum and all that kind of stuff. You were on your face. You were reverent. You were a holy awesomeness of God. And this is what's missing in our time. Certainly, we should do what we can to reach our generation that we're living in. But we cannot afford to lose that awesomeness and the presence. And the Bible calls it the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We cannot afford to lose that. My sorrows, he said, in me were turned into corruption. He saw his own woeness like Isaiah. That's what Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he saw his own undoneness. He said, I'm undone. I'm a man who has uncircumcised lips. I'm undone, and I need the Lord to fix me up. And Daniel says here, my own corruption, my sorrows are turned into corruption, he says. I retain no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face was toward the ground. And so he falls out before God. You're talking about falling out in the spirit. Well, he falls out before the Lord, and he sees this vision. And it goes on through verse 10. Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he sets him up, but he's tottering around, and he is so weak. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So he tells him to stand up. And it's like Daniel's saying, okay, I'll try to, but how in the world can I stand up now? And he's trembling, and he is overwhelmed by the presence of God. This is what God's presence does now. We may not fall around and kick in the floor every time that we know the presence of God, but we're overwhelmed by the presence of God. And I hope that we are taking this time that we have to be aside from everything that's going on or that was going on. And we're pulled away from things now. And I hope it will cause us to come aside, to be in a place where we can be in the presence of God and we can allow God's presence to come upon our life and to bless us in such a way that we've never been blessed before, to be overwhelmed by his presence. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, Daniel was fasting for this 3-week period. And the angel here tells him, from the first day that you started praying, from the first day that you set your heart to understand, that you set your heart to chasing yourself before God, your words were heard from the first day. So when we think that our prayers are not heard, that our prayers are not answered, we need to remember that God hears us and he answers our prayer from the first day the words were heard. From the first day he said, your words were heard. And I am now come for your words. Not only was he sent to bring Daniel God's word, but he came, he said, I am come for your words. God is interested in what you have to say. He wants to tell you what he has to say, but he's also interested in what you have to say. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Now, from this whole time that Daniel was fasting and praying, this 21-day period, the prince, not the king of Persia, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So the prince of this kingdom was an evil prince that was behind this kingdom. When we say in the New Testament, Romans 13, that God sets up government, he does. But God does not set up all government. Some government is run by the evil one. Principalities, powers, God created all principalities and powers, but many of them now are controlled by the evil power. And it says it right here, undeniably, undistinctly, or distinctly, that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood this mighty angel of God. For 21 days he kept the answer from coming to Daniel. But he says, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Oh, glory to God, there's always help on the way. God has always got the help that you need. And this angel, we'll call him Gabriel, or the angel, he says, Michael, that's another archangel. Gabriel is an archangel. Michael is an archangel. Lucifer was an archangel until he decided to try to become somebody that he never was intended to be, and he fell and lost his position and became who we know as that old slewfoot Satan devil now. And so there are two archangels that we know of, and one of them is Michael and one of them is Gabriel. And Gabriel is the messenger angel. Michael is known as the warrior angel, and he comes to help this angel of God out now, and they are able to overcome the evil power. And I remain there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. I had this conflict to take care of. I had this battle to do. And the song said, this is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. And I won't go through all of it, but it looks like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It's like Elisha in the Old Testament. Greater are those who are us than those who are with the enemy. We have more with us than they that are with them. Daniel, I'm coming to help you to understand that which will befall your people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. He was unable to speak. He was just informed that you're about to see a vision of the last days. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said to him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? In other words, how in the world will I be able to talk with such a holy being? How will I be able? He says, O my Lord, my sorrows are turned upon me. My corruption, how in the world can I be able to stand this? As for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. I can hardly breathe. Then came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. God gives him strength so that he can be able to endure. And we have the words written to us today. as a result of that. Thank God for his strength that he gives this man of God and that he gives us. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am coming to thee? Don't you know why I'm come? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. I got to go back and finish this conflict. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. There are other kingdoms, there are other empires that are coming, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And so God gives him this strength that he needs to understand the vision that's coming. God's people shine in darkness. Chapter 11, and it's a long chapter, but it talks about the kingdoms that are coming. The kingdom of Greece, the Grecian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, all these kingdoms that are coming. Now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And this conflict is starting. Now the Babylonian Empire has given way to the Medo-Persian Empire, and now they will become weak and will give way to the Grecian Empire, which in turn will result in the Roman Empire taking over. All these empires of the world. A mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And history tells us that this is Alexander the Great, who conquered more than many men would even dream about. When he shall stand, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. And this is a big thing that gives us the implication that that's who it's talking about. Not to his own posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And all this helter-skelter dialogue continues through chapter 11, giving minute detail that is difficult for even the most advanced scholars to completely agree on its interpretation. With one king and one nation, another nation being against another, it reminds us so much of the confused stupor and status of the people of our world now. Yet, like verse 32 and 33 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The important thing is not who's ruling and not who's reigning. It may be important in the events that we have to face now, but the important thing is, praise God. Do you know your God? Are you doing exploits for the Lord? Are you carrying out the Great Commission? They that understand among the people shall instruct many. It's wonderful to be able to help others. We hear so much in our day now is misfortune and mishappening and all the things that are going on, the sickness and the disease that's coming and spreading about on every hand. But God Almighty gives us the help that we need, and he sends people along to help us. They will instruct many among the people. They will instruct them, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. God's people, just because we know the Lord, just because we help others, that doesn't exempt us from trouble. We still have trouble, and many martyrs, many people have died for their faith. This takes us into chapter 12. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble. It's known as Jacob's trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Is this what we're living in right now, the time of the end? It could be setting up for it. But if you think this is bad, you just wait till that time of the end, that time of trouble that's coming. There's a whole lot worse than this. And praise God, we don't plan to be here. I know. Thank God for that. At that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. The important thing is that you have to be delivered. Your name has to be written in that book. It doesn't matter what dispensation you're living in. It doesn't matter, especially now. We have the opportunity to be saved. and our name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The Bible talks about that all throughout the Bible. The Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings, and they that be wise shall shine in the kingdom of their God. And it says it here, they that be wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Keep on shining ye light. Keep on witnessing for the Lord. Keep on letting the Lord use you. And that's what you can do. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. How would you like to have been told to shut up the words? You can't tell anybody. You can tell people what you saw, but you can't tell all about it because you don't really know all the meaning. And when he tried to inquire about it, he was told certain things, but some things he said, you just go your way. Shut it up. It has to be closed up. In the time that we're living in, brothers and sisters, we had the opportunity to understand what many in Daniel's day did not understand. We have the new covenant. We have Calvary. We have the blood of Jesus. We have so many things that they didn't have. We have a Bible. They didn't have no Bible. They had some scripture, but they didn't have the Bible like we have. We have Sunday school literature. We have the internet. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul and Jesus and John and James and Peter, what they could have done with the internet? Woo-wee. We have all these things at our disposal. You're talking about a Holy Ghost Zoom room. They really would have had one. And YouTube channel, Facebook. And you can use Facebook for the glory of God. And all these things are at our disposal now. The time of the end. You're talking about the time of the end. We're living in the end time now. Peter said this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the times of the end have been all ever since then. And we're living certainly in the end of time now. And it goes on through Daniel chapter 12. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, and this was no doubt the one who spoke to him in the previous chapters. He says to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long is it going to be till we know this thing is wrapped up? I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. That is, a time, times, and half is known by the scholars as 3.5 years. It's talking about this terrible time, the 3.5 year period, this last part of the 7-year tribulation period. The first part is bad enough, but the last part is what he's talking about. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, that is this evil ruler that will rise, not Antiochus Epiphanes and not Alexander the Great. Now, all these were talked about in Daniel 11, but it's nothing compared to this evil one, this beast in Revelation chapter 13 that comes up out of the sea, this dragon that gives the power to the beast and the false prophet, the dragon, the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist. And there's nothing that it compares to that. When he will scatter the power of the holy people, he makes a covenant of peace with them in the beginning. And then in the middle of the week, in the middle of the time period, the tribulation period, he breaks the covenant with them. And he scatters the power of the holy people. When this will happen, all these things shall be finished. The God's wrath will be poured out on this world. And I heard, Daniel said, but I understood not. And I put my amen in there too. I can hear it and I can understand a little bit of it, but I certainly don't understand all that I'd like to. Then said I, Daniel said, oh, my Lord. I mean, that's what I say. Oh, my Lord. what shall be the end of these things? And he said, here it is again, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up until the time of the end. So he says, go your way, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. This is the ones who are saved, the ones who are righteous. We call them saved now. But the wicked shall do wickedly. There will always be a difference. Everybody says we're all together. We're all in this thing together. Well, no, we're not in this thing together. We're all affected by what's going on. But we're not all the same. We're not all together. Some are righteous. Some are unrighteous. Some are saved. Some are lost. Some are going to heaven. Some are going to hell. It's not the same. Those that are righteous will be purified and white. Those who are wicked will keep on being wicked unless God saves them and they allow the Lord to save them. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And he gives a couple of time periods here from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. That the worship in the tribulation period will return to the Hebrew worship like it used to be. Because this Antichrist will appear to be a friend of Israel. And worship will be put back in. The daily sacrifices will be put back in. But in the middle of this thing, he will drag the rug right out from under them. And he will come against them. He will set his abomination in the temple up. And he will set himself up as God. Try to pose himself as God. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about it. He opposes all who is called God or that is worshiped, and he sets as God in the temple of God. He wants everybody to worship him. That's what the evil one, the Satan, the devil, that's his intention, has always been for something, someone and people to worship him. And it will happen during that time of tribulation. The time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. This abomination, this idol, this evil image that's set up in the temple of God, there shall be 1,290 days. It's talking about this time period that's in the last part of the tribulation period. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So the idea is the longer that you wait, the better that it is, because the longer that you go, the more you're coming closer to the coming of the Lord. So you're better off to wait 45 more days. What's the difference between 1,290 days and 1,335 days? Well, that's a whole lot when you're going through a time of suffering and the mark of the beast, and you got 45 more days to get closer to the coming of Jesus. But go thou thy way, Daniel, to the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand at thy lot at the end of the days. So Daniel is actually cut off. And when you get to the end, that's the end. It's like the sanctified Chet Atkins says, that's all, folks. When you get to the end of Daniel chapter 12, that's the end. But the promise is that God says, I will give you a rest. There is a rest for the people of God. I will give you rest. You will have rest, and you will be able to stand in the end of the days. You'll be able to rest, and then you'll be able to stand in your lot. How in the world can he stand in his lot? Well, he has to be resurrected. There's a resurrection. Some will be raised to life. Some will be raised to everlasting shame and contempt. But the promise is, praise God, we have a resurrection, and we have a joy unspeakable that's full of glory, even in the midst of trouble and desolation and confusion all around us. We have the promise of God that says we can make it. We have the promise of God that says God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against us, because God is for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be with your people today. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this word to our hearts. Help us to be encouraged from the prophecy of Daniel, that you're still with us and that you're working all things out after the counsel of your will. You will bring all these things to fulfillment. Those which have been fulfilled are already fulfilled, and those which are yet to be fulfilled will come. You have been listening to a teaching session from Daniel chapters 10 through 12, entitled End Times Prophetic Panorama. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.